Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, I have noted that every part of the Bible is the Word of God. Every part of the Bible is important, and it has important teaching for us. We are not under the law of Moses, but even in the Old Testament, there are biblical principles which carry over into New Testament times. Even though we ourselves are not under the hundreds of regulations of Moses given to the Jews, nevertheless, we Christians accept the principles, the moral principles, carried over into New Testament times. And so in the New Testament, there is also much teaching we need to listen to. But certain books have certain teachings which emphasize one particular truth. For instance, the Gospel of John is emphasizing not only salvation, but the deity of Christ. Why do we teach that Jesus is God? He is God the Son. And why do we teach this? Well, because the Gospel of John makes it very clear, where the Lord Jesus said that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. In other words, he was worthy of the same honor as the Heavenly Father himself. Now we come to the book of Romans, and the book of Romans is a key book on the subject of salvation. The complete study of salvation, both why I need a Savior, how to be saved, how I'm to live after I'm saved, and so forth. And so the subject is complete. Now the book of Corinthians is like this. This epistle of Corinthians is exactly like this. It gives us a very clear picture of how God wants to deal with church life. When we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, and I trust that all of you listening today have come to Him, Jesus alone, as your only means of salvation. It's not through our church, through your church. It's not through our ordinances or your sacraments. It's not through any person to whom you might think you should pray. It's not that that's going to help save you. Only Jesus is the Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I trust that you have been saved by the Lord Jesus. You've come to Jesus alone. You've asked Him to forgive you your sins, come into your heart, and save you from your sins. And you did this from your heart so that you know that you're saved. Now, when you're saved, and this is what I'm getting to, when you're saved, you come into the body of believers. In other words, in this colony of Guam, and wherever you might live, wherever you might be listening to this program, there are local churches where the Word of God is being upheld and taught. They may be a little bit different in name, that doesn't matter. But they're local churches where the Word of God is upheld and taught, where you're growing together as a body of believers. Now that's what the Corinthian church is talking about. That's what we're talking about in the study of this book of 1 Corinthians. We're talking about the fact that here is a body of believers, but unfortunately, this body of believers was not a spiritual group of believers. They were a very carnal, wicked, sinful group of believers. And so he's having to strongly admonish them. Now, very quickly, I'm simply pointing out that there's something like 12 different problems he's dealing with. And when I teach the book, I divide it into these 12 problems. It seems the easiest way to divide the book of Corinthians into the 12 problems he deals with. And each one of these problems was capable of destroying their fellowship, their proper relationship with the Lord as a body of believers, and their forward progress in the great work of God. In other words, they were not carrying out the plans and the purposes of God because they were sinful in their church. Sins among them, sin of immorality being tolerated among them, everything possible was going wrong in this church. And now we have come to chapter 11, the last half of this chapter, beginning with verse 17 and going down to the end of the chapter, to clear down to verse 34, where he's discussing the problem of trouble at the table of the Lord. Now, I've already discussed the table of the Lord, and I don't want to go back over this discussion. But the table of the Lord was given by the Lord Jesus in his last meeting with the disciples before he was crucified. We find it described in all four of the Gospels, where he gave this table of the Lord, as a way that they would have of remembering him. Now, we do not follow all of the customs of the New Testament churches. Nevertheless, we still believe that we are to have a significant, holy time before the Lord in remembering him at the table of the Lord. Now, contrary to the teaching of many, the juice does not turn into the blood of Jesus. There is no teaching in the Scripture which teaches this. Jesus uses the word, this do in remembrance of me. In other words, these were symbols. The same with the bread. This does not actually turn into the body of Christ. Again, it's a remembrance of what the Lord Jesus has done. Nevertheless, even though we do not believe it actually turns into the body and blood of Christ, because the Scriptures do not teach that, nevertheless, it is still to be a very holy time as we come to the table of the Lord. We are to come to it with deep reverence, with submission to the Lord Jesus, with deep thankfulness to him for everything he has done for us. In other words, it refreshes our memories. It brings again to our memories how much we owe the Lord Jesus Christ and how easy it is to forget this, how much we owe him and how much we're dependent upon him. And so, as we come to the table of the Lord, we come to the table of the Lord with hearts that are right with him. We've dealt with sin in our lives. We come to this table of the Lord in a solemn manner and in a quiet manner. There's to be no playing around by children or any such thing during the table of the Lord. We come to it as a time when we realize we're on holy ground before God and that we're to treat this very, very carefully. Therefore, as a remembrance, the Lord's table was to be approached in that day and today with much heart searching and reverence for the Lord. There was to be no carelessness whatsoever in the approach to it. Now, let's think now in chapter 11, verses 27 to 29, where he discusses the approach of Christians to the table of the Lord. First of all, before they could come to the table of the Lord, they were to examine themselves. He's dealing now with a problem in the church. Remember, the problem had been that the rich people, because they had a fellowship meal before the table of the Lord, the rich people would bring sumptuous banquets to this fellowship meal. But the poor people had nothing to eat. Perhaps even they might have had scraps of bread, but that was about it. And so the rich people were selfish. They refused to share. And that meant that when they came to the table of the Lord itself and they partook of the bread and of the juice, that the rich people had sinned on their hearts. They had sinned against their brothers and sisters in the Lord by refusing to have a spirit of compassion, a spirit of love, a spirit of sharing and of sacrifice for other believers there. So that had been their approach. So now he says, the first thing they were to do, they were to examine themselves for any sin and any impurity in their lives. It is clearly implied that any sin or any impurity is to be dealt with before God so that their hearts are clean in coming to the table of the Lord. And if their hearts are not clean, they are not to come to the table of the Lord. Now, apparently in Corinth, many of the believers did not take this seriously. This was true, of course, in what Paul had heard, that the rich were coming with this arrogant, selfish, unsharing, uncaring attitude. And so many of the believers in the church simply did not take this instruction carelessly. They did not take it clearly. Let me put it this way. They had not examined their hearts. They didn't care how they came to the table of the Lord. It was just simply some ritual that they went through. Now, I've been in churches where this has been true, and I want to say this kindly, but I want to say it honestly. I've been in churches where the spirit among people is very, very careless. There may even be talking among some of the believers as the table of the Lord is being conducted. There may be some attitude of distraction going on, children running around, children playing in the church, and so forth. And this is a shame to the name of Jesus. It would be better not to have the table of the Lord than to have these kinds of things going on. So in Corinth, they didn't take this seriously. There was indifference to its significance in their own lives. And this approach would deeply offend the Lord. and their approach would not be acceptable to him. And again, they would be inviting his judgment on them. So this passage makes it clear that there was to be much heart searching and much heart preparation before anyone in that day or this day would even dare to partake of the table of the Lord. So I want to urge you believers, as we get a little bit further into this study, I want to urge you believers, be very, very careful how you treat the Lord Jesus. In other words, whether in your prayer life, whether in your daily walk with Him, whether in the table of the Lord, or in any other way, be very careful how you treat the Lord Jesus. You're not to take Him carelessly. You're to reproach Him with deep reverence and deep respect and deep gratefulness and deep submission and obedience to Him. Now, I want to say a few things in closing about the judgment of God upon those who would offend. In other words, what was going to happen now to these rich people who were coming so carelessly to the table of the Lord? We're going to see this in chapter 11, verses 30 to 34. Apparently, the offense of those in Corinth who were treating the table of the Lord carelessly and with indifference to its significance and its requirements, apparently this was so great that God brought direct judgment upon some of them. The judgment He brought upon them involved causing some of them to suffer sickness and others to die. Chapter 11, verse 30. Some were sick and others died. In bringing such judgment on them, God had the purpose of not only repaying the main offenders for this sin at the Lord's table, but also He had the purpose of warning the other members of the body of believers that they did not dare commit the same sin of offending Him by taking His words carelessly. In other words, the same judgments could come upon the others as well if they practiced and persisted in the same kinds of sins being practiced by those who had to be judged by God. Now, this judgment seems rather severe, that God brought sickness upon them and God brought death upon them. And we cannot interpret this too far. In other words, we cannot say, therefore, that every time a person gets sick, that means there's some sin in his life. You don't dare draw this kind of conclusion. But in this case, apparently it was very obvious why they had gotten sick and why suddenly some of them died. It was because of sin, even at the table of the Lord. Now, the lesson we can learn today is this, that it's better not to partake at all of the table of the Lord than to partake with deep offense to the Lord through a sinful and a careless approach. The Lord may not bring judgment on us in the same way He did the Corinthians, but He still, in some serious way, will hold us accountable for this and other offenses we commit against Him. And so I want to urge you, if you belong to a fellowship of believers, and I trust you do if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want to urge you, in every aspect of church life, you are to guard yourselves very, very carefully. In other words, the fellowship of believers is very important to God, and the fellowship of believers is God's way of working in teaching us, leading us on, helping to build us up in the Spirit of God. And so if you're coming to the fellowship of believers with wrong attitudes, with sin in your hearts, with problems between you and other believers, or even problems between you and the Lord Himself as you come to the table of the Lord, you are to examine your hearts and you're to get right with God, because God will not tolerate people who take Him carelessly and people who do not really respect Him as they should and people who are sinning against Him with indifference and with carelessness. So it's my prayer, therefore, that as we have studied this together, that you may be warned by this subject of the table of the Lord, because it applies to every other aspect of our fellowship together in the body of believers, that God may warn you and lead you into a correct path, a path of right relationship with other believers and with the Lord Himself. And may the Lord bless you, each one.